Today is June 7th, the 24th of Sivan, and we are starting Perek Hay. So Perek Dalad, just to recap, Ishbosheth is murdered by two men. We're not sure if they were from Binyamin or what they were, and then they brought the head to David, thinking they'd be given all sorts of accolades, and David, of course, has them killed immediately, and is horrified that they killed Ishbosheth. Okay, but now, because Ishbosheth is dead, it leaves open for David to be embraced by all of Bnei Israel. So this is the first half of Perek Hay. Next week's going to be the last week for the school year. So hopefully we'll finish Perek Hay next week. And there are some really fascinating things here. And you weren't here last week, right? So the two men who killed him, the Al-Sheikh, had this incredible theory that they had dressed up like women, and that's how they managed to do it, and they hid the head under their cloak as a... He didn't say this explicitly, but as a pregnant belly. And the head is then buried with Avner in Hebron. And the body is somewhere else, obviously. I don't know if we know where the body is. I didn't see anything. Okay, so now... Perek Hay, Pasuk Aleph. Vayevo kol shivtei Yisrael, David, Chevrona. All the tribes of Israel came to David to Chevron, where David had set up his base. And we're going to see in this Perek the introduction of Yerushalayim. Vayomru lemor hinenu atzmecha uvisarcha anachnu. Behold, we are your bones and your flesh. Very strong statement of unity. So I just want to read Pasuk Bet as well, and then we'll explore those two psukim. So Gam Etmol, Gam Shalshom, we have this phrase again, also yesterday, the day before, Biot Sha'ul Melech Aleinu, even when Sha'ul was the king over us, Ata Hayita Hamotzi V'Hamevi Et Yisrael. You were the ones who brought out and brought them out and brought them in, of Israel, Vayomer Hashem Lecha, Ata and Hashem had said to you, you will shepherd my nation at Israel, Israel, v'atatia l'nagid al Yisrael, and you will be the nagid, which is another word for a leader, on Israel. Okay, so in this parak, we're going to look a few times at Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles, and how they add or omit different things that we see here. It's almost exactly the same. It's really amazing. So just to recap, Shmuel here is written by Shmuel until he dies, and then it's said to have written by two other Nevi'im. I always forget this middle one. I think his name is God, but I'm not sure. And then Natan, who's more famous, is the other one that it was written by. And it's, as we see, really a no-holds-bar account of David and his life, as opposed to Divrei Hayamim, which was written by Ezra, and it was written leading up to or during the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, so trying to reassert the kingdom of David on the Jewish people. And I was listening to a shiur by Rav Schwartz on YU Torah that was saying that... it's very interesting what it leaves out, and one of the things that's not written up in Divrei Hayamim is the story of David and Bathsheba. So it's more of a whitewashed version. So a lot of the commentaries also refer to Divrei Hayamim. What was most interesting is the amount of commentary of Rashi in Divrei Hayamim that's not in our Perek of Shmuel, which I found really fascinating. We'll see that. Okay, so let's look at how Divrei Hayamim relates these two psukim. So we're still on page one. Vayikbitzu kol Yisrael David Chavrona. So instead of Vayavo'u kol Shivtei Yisrael, that all the tribes of Israel came, it just says all of Israel gathered to David in Chavron. I'm sorry, I didn't put the English. I don't know why I didn't do that. Lemor hine atzmecha v'sarcha anachnu. Behold, we are your bones and your flesh. Bet gam tmol gam shalshom gam biot sha'ul melech ata motzi v'hamevi et Yisrael. That's why I didn't put the translation, because it's basically the same. Et Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem Elokecha lecha ata tir'e et ami et Yisrael. Ve'ata tia nagid Al Ami Yisrael. I think, why did I include that? Oh, because there's going to be a Rashi there. Right. Okay. So that's why I included it. There's another place where it actually adds things or subtracts things. So we didn't even need to read that, really. Okay, so Radak and Pasuk Aleph. Vayivu kol shivtei Yisrael. Mikol shevet Yisrael bau elav. So from all of the tribes of Israel, they came to him. Vafilu mishevet Binyamin. Even from Binyamin. Ki lo haya lehem od tikva bebeit Shaul. They no longer had any hope in the house of Shaul. And this was 5 years after the death of Ishbosheth. If you remember, we spent a long time whether Ishbosheth reigned for 2 years in the beginning of this 7.5 year period or 2 years at the end. There was a whole debate in the Gemara as well. So Radak is of the opinion that Ishbosheth was in the first 2 years, and this was not until 5 years later that they all gathered. And there were 5 years where the kingship was canceled, that David did not rule over all of Israel until the end of the 5 years, in 6 months, because Ishbosheth was only the king for 2 years. We are your bones and your flesh. So Rashi has these words coming from Binyamin, even though you are from the family of Yehuda. We are relatives, anachnu. We're also your bones. We're all from Bnei Yisrael, we're all brothers. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say that today? Okay, continuing on that's in Gimel and Dalet. Okay, sorry that this is a little confusing. We'll get back to Gimel. So if you look at page 2 where it says Bereshit Perek Bet and Bereshit Perek Kaf Tet, I just was interested in this phrase of bones and flesh. So the first time we see it is with Adam and Chava. Vayomer HaAdam, and Adam said, Zot HaPam Etzem Me'atami Ubasar MiBasarvi. This time you are the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Lezoti kara isha, ki mi'ish lukacha zot. And this one he called isha, woman, because she's taken from ish, from man. Rashi here says that this proves that the original language was Hebrew, because ish and isha, very few other languages apparently, Rashi claims, have that. English has it, that woman has the word man in it. Okay, so that's the first time we see it, and then the second time we see it is even more interesting. In Perikav Tet, Vayomer lo Lavan. Lavan is speaking to Yaakov. Ach atzmi u'besari ata vayeshav imo chodesh yamim. He's saying to Yaakov, you are my bones and my flesh, and he stayed with him for many months. So and that's sort of Lavan saying, I guess you can stay with me because you're my relative. So, and now it also appears in Shoftim, different context, and here we have it in this declaration of all of Israel accepting David as their leader. Okay, Rashi in Divrei HaYamim, now, Atatir Etami, you will shepherd my nation. It's an interesting language. And if you remember, we spent a long time, and I've recycled it many times in other shiurim, of David being a shepherd, and how in that time being a shepherd was not an honorable vocation. Once Israel had conquered the land, the push was to agriculture and not shepherding, and we saw there that in Rambam, in the Mishneh Torah, he even goes so far as to say that shepherds are not kosher witnesses. They can't be trusted. And the reason why David was a shepherd, because he was thought to perhaps be illegitimate until Shmuel called to him and anointed him when he was 28 years old. Okay, so what does Rashi say about this? Let's just read the English. You shall shepherd my people. Concerning this, David said, Hashem roi lo achsar. Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want. You say to me, you shall shepherd. How can I shepherd? The matter does not depend on me, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I too shall not be wanting to you. A similar instance is found in Shmuel. actually not our parak, later on. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall no longer go out with us in battle, so that you extinguish not the lamp of Israel. David replied, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord does light my darkness. So David, in his humility and his constant faith in Hashem, is like, what do you mean I'm the shepherd? It's all from Hashem. Okay, so let's go back and do Pasuk Gimel. We'll do the Radak on Pasuk Gimel, and then we'll be back on track in the source sheet. Vayavoh kol ziknei Yisrael el hamelech, and now all of the elders of Israel came to the king. So we have a little bit of repetition. We had all of the tribes of Israel, and now it's singling out the elders of Israel. Chevrona, they came to Chevron. Vayichrot lehem hamelech David brit, and they made a covenant with him. B'chevron in Chevron lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. We're going to focus on that. David, and they anointed David as the king of Israel. Now this will be David's third anointment, right? He was anointed by Shmuel initially in that private ceremony, and then he was just anointed by Yehuda, recognized, and now he's being anointed by all of Israel. So he's got a triple anointment. Okay, so let's see the Radak on Pasuk Gimel. Vayivo kol zikne Yisrael, and all of the tribes came, so we're on the top of page 2, what we skipped before. V'kvar amar lamala v'yavo kol shivtei Yisrael. And it already said above that all the tribes of Israel came. Elu perisho v'yavo'u v'kvar ba'u t'chila ziknei Yisrael David v'karat lehem brit shelo yira lehem ba'avur shesamchu yade ish boshet shtei shanim u'ba'avur she'achru lehem licho achar mot ish boshet chamei shanim. Okay, so the explanation of Vayavo'u is already the elders of Israel had come to David and they had established a brit with him that he wouldn't harm them, since they had supported Ishbosheth for 2 years, and that they delayed, so the Radak is really sticking with his time frame, that they delayed the rulership of David after the death of Ishbosheth for 5 years. Okay, so they had a lot to apologize for and a lot to make a brit with them. V'kivan shekarat lahem brit shalchu ba'avor shivtei Yisrael. And since the elders made this bris, they then sent for all the tribes of Israel, ubal el David, and they came to David, umashchuhu lemelech, and they anointed him king. So first they had to make a peace treaty almost, and then they had this anointment ceremony. Ve'af al pi she'ya nimshach tchila biyad Shmuel, u'mashchuhu achar kein beit Yehuda. And even though he'd already been anointed in the beginning by the hand of Shmuel, and after that the house of Yehuda, mashchuhu gam ata Yisrael. Israel is now also anointing him, ki ata malach al kol Yisrael, because now he rules on all of Israel. U'bedivrei hayamim omer, v'yimshechu et David lemelech al Yisrael b'davar Hashem b'yad Shmuel. This is why I included that, and I apparently deleted it, unfortunately. Okay, so it says in Divrei Hayamim, and this must be the next pasuk that somehow got edited out from what I had for you, and they anointed David as the king on Israel, and the word of Hashem on the hand of Shmuel, who's been dead for however long now. Lefi shelo haya nitkayem devar Shmuel ad hayom. Because the word of Shmuel didn't come into play until now. Now Shmuel's prophecy is being fulfilled. Ad hayom hazeh. Ki Shmuel mashchu lemelech al kol Yisrael. Because Shmuel had anointed him to be the king on all of Israel. Kamo sheya Shaul melech al kol Yisrael. Melech al kol Yisrael. Just like Shaul had been the king of all Israel. And it's for this reason that David didn't wage war against the Jebusites, who were sitting in Sion, which is Yerushalayim, ad sheya melech al kol Yisrael, until he became the king of all of Israel. And as soon as he was anointed by all of Israel, he then went to conquer Jerusalem. We're going to see that. Okay, now this Radak I thought was really beautiful, with an important lesson for today also. Lifnei Hashem. So what does it mean that he was anointed Lifnei Hashem? If you remember, the Aaron is still not united with the Mishkan, sorry, is still not united with the Bama. We have this separate. I spent a long time talking about that. And the Aaron is still in this place called Kiryat Yearim, which I think when we start again in the fall, we're going to learn about reuniting everything together. David's going to go get it. But in the meantime, usually when we say Lifnei Hashem, before God, we're talking about in some the presence of some holy thing representing Hashem, right? And here there's nothing. It's just a random place. So Radak explains, Kvar Pirashi ki kol makom shiyitkabtsu sham kol Yisrael o rubam. He's already explained, the Radak, any place where all of Israel or even a majority of Israel is gathered, sham shchina shora, there the shchina rests. I just thought that was nice. So that's something nice to have in mind whenever you're with a big crowd of Jewish people, to think of the Shekhinah resting there, even if we're in troubled times. O Perush, or maybe the explanation is, Lifnei Hashem, before God, Shemru Hashem Ya'ed Benehu Bebrit She'anu Korektim, before God, because they said that God would be a witness between them in the Brit that they were establishing. Okay, so let's move on with the psukim. Okay, so we're in the next parshia, the next little paragraph, pasuk dalet. Ben shloshim shana David b'malko, arba'im shana malach. So David was 30 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. That was his kingship. He died when he was 70. You all remember there's a midrash that Adam was shown all the souls that were to be in the future, you know? And this one lit up and he said, who's that? And God said, oh, that's David, who's only going to live for 1 second. And Adam was so struck by the brilliance of his soul that he donated 70 of his own years to David. And Adam, indeed, you see, lived for 930 years instead of 1,000. There's another version of the Midrash that I haven't learned yet, that it was actually the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that donated years to David's life. Okay. Hey, Bechevron Malach al Yehuda, Sheva Shanim, Veshisha Chodeshim. So he ruled in Chevron for 7 years and 6 months, Uvi Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Veshalosh Shana. And in Jerusalem, he ruled for 33 years, Al Kol Yisrael VeYehuda, on all of Israel and Yehuda. Something interesting that Rabbi Schaefer points out is that through this type of sentence, you can see the difference in authorship in David and how it transfers from Shmuel to the other Nevi'im that wrote it. That in this section of the book, we see a lot of big, huge historic statements, like going all the way to the end of David's rulership, the whole 70 years, and then going and giving the details. We're going to see that later in this parak when it mentions the children he has, and it even mentions Shlomo, even though we're nowhere near Shlomo being born at this point. So that's like a literary device used by these authors that we didn't see in the beginning. Okay, so Pasuk Vav. Vayelech hamelech ve'anashav Yerushalayim el ha-yevusi yoshev ha'aretz. So the king and his men went to Jerusalem, to the Jebusites, who were settled in the land. Vayomer leDavid leMor, lo tavohena ki im hasircha haivrim vehapischim, leMor lo yavivo David hena. Now this is a very confusing pasuk. The Malbim even says it's confusing. So what it means is, they spoke to David, the Jebusites, saying, you shall not come here unless you remove the blind and the lame. And as if to say, David shall not come here. Meaning, they put this crazy requirement on anybody who would enter the city, specifically in this case David, how you can't come in until you remove the blind and the lame. And in that way, they had some sort of confidence or bravado that David would never come in, that they were safe from being conquered. Okay, so now we're going to see a lot of let's actually read through to the end, and then we'll read all the commentary on it. Okay, so Zion, Vayelkod David et Mitzudat Zion, should sound familiar, Hi Ir David. So David conquered the stronghold of Zion, which is the city of David. Chet, Vayomer David Bayom Hahu, Kol Makeh Yevusi, Vayiga Betzinor, Ve'et ha-pisrim ve'et ha-ivrim snu'ei nefesh David al ken yomru iver ve'piseach lo yavo al habayit. And David said on that day, whoever smites the Jebusites and reaches the tower and removes the lame and the blind, despised by the soul of David. That's troubling, if indeed they're actually lame and blind people, to think that David would hate certain people. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So that's going to be one of the things that the Mefarshim are going to deal with. How do we contextualize these blind and lame so that it doesn't look like David doesn't have compassion? Okay? Tet, Vayeshev David b'mitsuda v'yikrala ir David, Vayivan David saviv min hamilo uvavaita. David built in a stronghold and he called it the city of David, and David built round about from the mound and inward. Vayelach David haloch v'gadol v'hashem elokei tzvakot imo. David continued to grow greater, and Hashem Tzvakot, Lord of hosts, was with him. Okay, so now let's explore what this means and how it seems he conquered the city. So we have the Ivrim and Pisrim, the blind and the lame. We also have this thing called a Tzinor that was, that they translate, how did they translate it? The tower in this Pasuk 8, they translate it as a tower. We're gonna see what it is. And that somehow, by reaching the tower, allowed them to conquer everything with the blind and the lame. And what does it mean that David hates them? And then it seems like, okay, then they had Yerushalayim. There doesn't seem to be any kind of battle. So the first thing we're going to do...
So it's the same geography as today? Ir David is in the valley right next to Yerushalayim?
Ir David is what they're still excavating.
Right. So,
yeah.
So what happens is you have... the Yevusim on the hill, and David is in the valley right next to it.
Right, something okay. Like that, yeah. But they conquered them. Now they're gone, the Yevusim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, just to give you some background information they're going to read about, there's a question about what Yerushalayim really was, and what's any Hebrew word that ends with ayim? Yadayim, Enayim, Ozayim, it's a pair, right. So like Mitzrayim, for instance, was seen as my stepfather-in-law, who studied Egyptian, taught me this, was like an upper Egypt and a lower Egypt, and that's why it's called Mitzrayim. And Yerushalayim also might have been, like this might be one section, and they'd already conquered another section. There's two sections here of Yerushalayim. Okay, so any other questions so far? Okay. I think what I want to do is just show you the Divrei Hayamim first, even though I put it much later, just so you have that to compare, and then we'll go into all the commentaries. So Divrei Hayamim is page 3 on the bottom, and then we'll go back to page 2. So page 3 on the bottom, Divrei Hayamim. Vayomru Yoshvei Yavus LeDavid Lo Tavohena. And the people, the settlers of Yavus, the Jebusites, said to David, don't come here. Vayukod David et Mitzudat Zion. But then David did conquer the stronghold of Zion, Hi Ir David, which was the city of David. So you don't have, I'm not going to say you don't have mention of the blind and lame, because I think they're in there, but it's not, you don't have mention of this Tzinor, whatever that is, which we said was tower, but who knows what a Tzinor is in modern Hebrew?
Pipe.
A pipe, right. So something to do with water, okay, which this translation leaves out, we're going to see. So, Vav, Vayomer David, Kol Makeh Yevusi Barishona, Yia Larosh Ulasar. So, David says, anybody who smites who's the first to smite the Yevusim will be the head and the minister, I think the head of the army. Vayal Barishona Yoav Ben Tsruya, Vayhi Larosh. So, who was the first one to do it? Yoav, who were very familiar with, and I think this is in a way Yoav redeeming himself from the whole Avner affair, that he won his right to be the general of the army fair and square through his conquering. Okay? We're going to see some very interesting theories about how that happened. Okay, so let's first look at Rashi, and this is Rashi in Shmuel, because we're going to see very interesting Rashi from Divrei Hayamim. Okay, so let's read the English. To the Jebusites, Mitzurat Tzion is called Jebus. So the ancient word for Mitzurat Tzion was Yavus. Now they, the inhabitants of the area, were of the seed of Avimelech. Remember Avimelech? We have two episodes with him, Avraham and Sarah, and then also Yitzchak and Rivka. And there's even some episodes in the middle between them with some wells and that take place at Beersheba where an oath is made. It's actually right before the Akedah story with Avraham. And so the Yavusim came from this Avimelech, and they were in possession of two statues, one blind and the other lame, symbolizing Isaac, who was blind in his latter years, and Jacob, who turned lame as a result of his bout with the angels. And in their mouths was the oath that Avram had sworn to Avimelech. For this reason, they, the Israelites who had conquered the land, did not drive them out. For when they took Jerusalem, they failed to take the strongholds, that's the Mitzuda, as it is stated, and the Yebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Yehuda, were unable, from Joshua. It was learned, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, they were indeed able, but were not permitted. So Avimelech and Avram make this covenant, which in Bereshit, the Ramban actually attributes the Akedah to Avram having made this covenant with Avimelech not to conquer the land that Hashem promised him from Avimelech. So almost as a punishment, Hashem then brought on the Akedah, like, you think you have, this isn't in your hands to decide whether or not you're going to conquer somebody else. This is your land. I've declared it. Manifest destiny. So that is the history of the story, that Avram makes this covenant with Avimelech. And to this day, in our part of the story, the Bnei Israel wouldn't touch this this portion of the land because of these statues representing Avraham and Yitzchak, who each had, or actually, not Avraham, but Yitzchak and Yaakov, representing the covenant of this Brit that Avraham had made. Okay, so now we see so this is one version of what blind and lame mean. And it's from a Midrash. Okay, so now the Radak. Vayelech HaMelech ve'anshav, and the king and his men went. Ubedivrei Hayamim, Vayelech David v'kol Yisrael. It doesn't say his men, it says all of Israel. Ki kol Yisrael hayu ata anshav, because now all of Israel are his men. V'kevan shemalach al kol Yisrael halach el Yerushalayim lo kod mitzudat Tzion. And since he now ruled over all of Israel, they went to Yerushalayim to conquer the stronghold of Zion. Because they had this received tradition that Sion was the head of the kingship Israel, Israel, and nobody could conquer it unless he was the king of all of Israel. And until that day, there was no sustained kingdom in Israel, for Shaul's kingdom was not sustained. Just an interesting thing. I heard something about the Six-Day War, that there was a theory that in 1948, they were unable to conquer Yerushalayim because they weren't united. And in 67, and they all tried to come through different gates, I think, and in 67 they were all united coming through one gate. So Yerushalayim can only be conquered through unity. Ki im hasircha ha'ivrim v'ha'pischim, until you remove the blind and the lame. Targum Yonatan elkin be'adiyutcha chataya v'chaiva. So now, Targum Yonatan has a different take on this, that rather than there being blind and lame in the city of Yerushalayim, there are quote-unquote metaphorically blind and lame in David's camp. And those are, if you look at the Aramaic, you can figure it out, Chataya v'chaiva. those who have sinned and those who were obligated in some negative way. So you need to remove all the negative people, all the sinners and bad people from your ranks, David, and then you'll be able to conquer Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's another theory. Umatzanu bedrash amran sheyavus la'avram karotim anabrit, and then the Radak includes, which I didn't include for space, the same thing that Rashi said about the brit that Avram made with Avimelech. V'hachacham Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, so Ibn Ezra perish, ki im hesircha kamo hesir, klomar im tasir l'milchamatcha afilo ha'ivrim v'hapischim. Even if it is only the blind and the lame that turn to fight you, az yimna'ucha shelo tavo, they will prevent you from entering, ki hamigdal hazeh chazak me'od v'lo nirah atcha l'milchama, for the stronghold is exceedingly strong and we do not fear fighting you. So, so this is another opinion of Ibn Ezra, that we have so much confidence in our position that that you won't even be able to, even if it were only blind and lame people fighting you, you wouldn't be able to remove them, and we're safe. Okay, so now the Malbim, which is a little long, but it's so worth it, because the way what he describes is like a Rube Goldberg machine. It's really awesome. Okay, so the questions. Lama bachar lelechet tekef achar hamalchuto, hamlachato, sorry, lechom et hayivisi b'Yerushalayim. Why did he choose to go immediately after being declared the king to go wage war against the Yavusites in Jerusalem? V'inyan ha'ivrim v'hapischim v'hatzinor, nil ubo ha'mefarshim l'fatro. And the whole matter of the blind and the lame and this tzinor, which we said tower, but we're saying is pipe in modern Hebrew, the Mefarshim wore it out trying to solve it. Okay? Vayelech ha'melech ve'anshav. So the king and his men went. Achar she'ata hit'achdu shnei mamlechot Yisrael. Now that both the kingships of Israel are united, she'ayu adata shavet Yehuda tachat David v'yeter hashvatim u'binyamim shevet sha'ul b'rosham tachat ishboshet. So until now they've been divided. Yehuda under David, the rest of the tribes in Binyamin were under Shaul, and then later under Ishboshet. V'shavu kulam l'machut achat tachat David, and they all returned to one kingship under David. Haya min ha'etza v'chein hofia ratzon Hashem she'ir hamelucha tia b'gvul hashayach l'shnei hashvatim. So this was from the advice, and it was the will of God that the capital city would belong to two tribes, Shayu Shivte Machut, that would be the tribes of kingship. Vezeya Berushalayim, and this was in Yerushalayim, Shaita Chatzia Yehuda v'chatzia l'Binyamin, one half of it to Yehuda and one half to Binyamin. Kama shekatav b'gvulei ha'aretz, as it's written up when in Yehoshua, when we see the borders of the land. Ukmo shekatav chazal, and like the rabbis write in the Midrash in Yoma, Ritzua haita yotza michalko sheyehuda lachalko sel binyamim ubo mizbeach banui. There was a strip that came out from the portion of Yehuda to the portion of Binyamin, and on this the altar was built. And just for comparison's sake, it's very similar to Washington, D.C., and the theory behind it, that it's its own independent entity. And you, of course, have the, how many colonies? 13 colonies, right? Like, there's a lot of similarities. And what is America in Hebrew, Arzot Habrit, the land of the covenant. Okay, so it's very interesting to compare. Okay, V'kvar be'arnu shavtim ki b'nei Yehuda kavshu chalkam b'Yerushalayim. So now he's getting into this interesting thing that in Shoftim, he explained that Yehuda had already conquered their portion of Yerushalayim, so they're part of this two-part city. Rak b'nei Binyamin lo kavshu at chalkam, and Binyamin hadn't yet conquered their portion of the city. Ve'yashav sham hayavusi, and the Jebusites were still in the portion that Binyamin was meant to conquer. Vayelech hamelech ve'anshav lahorish et hayavushi, and the king and his men went to kick out the Jebusites. Michalek b'nei Binyamin, from the portion of the sons of Binyamin. Vayomer le'David le'mor lo tavo hina. And the Jebusites said to David, saying, "You don't come here." Kfi hapshat, aravim alai divrei haralbag. So he likes the words of the Ralbag. I think he's saying, actually, According to the simple meaning, the words of the Ralbag are sweet to me. Like when we say in the blessings of the Torah every morning, V'ha'ar Revna, that it's, the Torah should be sweet to me. So that's what I think he's saying. Shavashar Hayir Asu Tzlamim B'Demut Ivrim V'Pischim, that at the gate of the city they made statues that were in the appearance of blind and lame. V'Hayu Asuyim B'Ofen Mehatach Bula, and they made them in the way of a ruse. Sheyarimu Vayani'u B'Kocham Makalot Umotot Shabarzel Rabbe Hamishkal. So this ruse was that these blind and lame depicted people in statues would lift up and move with their strengths sticks and staffs of iron that weighed a lot. Tnua chazaka b'inyan shelo yuchal adam lekarev sham. This movement that a person wouldn't be able to do, ki yaku oto hatzlamim, that a person wouldn't want to go near them because it would look like the statues would smite them, b'makalot, with these staffs. And it could be that this was the job of actual blind and lame people to help in their movements. And they were next to a tzinor. We're going to see how tzinor hamayim. So he's translating it in the pipe notion of it, a tzinor of water. Be'ofen shahaya hatzinor motzi hamayim apiv, in such a way that this tzinor, water would come out of its mouth, ve'al yadei hagarat hamayim ushtifatam, and by way of the pouring out of the water and it's being poured out, hitnanu hatzlamim v'hamakalot, it would cause the statues and their sticks to move, kasher yia berachaim, like they were on a mill. Okay, so this is water power, right? U'kmo sharat tachbolot ele be'enav atkan derav. And it's as if they saw this ruse with their eyes. And I think that that was all the Ralbag. I didn't see it in the Ralbag, though, when I looked. Ukvize ha'amidu samuch l'shar hayir. And according to this, it was standing next to the gate of the city. Shura shel tzlamim b'damut ivrim. A whole line of statues in the, with the appearing like blind people. Be'achareha shura shel tzlamim b'damut pischim. And after it, a line of statues with the appearance of lame people. And after them, the tzinur would pour out its water. And on the other side of the city was this stronghold, the Metsuda. And between the city and between the Metsuda stood soldiers who were ready to fight. El hatzad sheyirtze ha'oyav lekanes. So they were ready to run to whichever side the enemy would enter. Uberishona ratza David likanes der chashar. At first, David wanted to enter by way of the gate. Vayomru lo lemor lo tavo hina ki'im hasir chayivrim ve'pskim. You can't come in here until you've removed the blind and the lame. Ratzon lomar, iyashar shetikanes im lo tasir tchila et eivrim ve'achar kach et ha'pskim. You would have to remove all these statues that are making these movements with these heavy iron staffs, and they won't let you enter the gate. And that's why they had this confidence that he wouldn't come. Because they were saying and decreeing that he wouldn't go. That he'd be refrained from going. Ve'itachin ki im hatachbula hazot hayu meyachasim letzlamim ha'ela koach elohut. And they were, it's possible that with this ruse, they were connecting the statues with some kind of godly lowercase g power. K'mo shayu darchei avodah zara hakadmonim, just like early ancient idol worships. Words would do. Shayu mitkanim psilehem. They would prepare their statues. Al yedei glilim vitsirim, by way of wheels and gears, axles. Sheet na nu, that they would move. Vayarimu kvedim b'malacha, and they would lift up heavy things in their work. Vayu mahavilim lehahamon haskalim kizo koko leeloko. And they would then confuse the masses, even the intelligent people, by thinking that this was the strength of their god. So that's the Rube Goldberg thing. Isn't this so crazy to imagine? Like, you can imagine these ancient Rube Goldberg machines keeping out the enemy. Okay, and then he includes something else from the Midrash. Okay, so that is the Malbim. And now, this amazing Rashi, which is really, I don't know why it's not in Shmuel, and why it's only in Divrei Hayamim, and I feel it's so prescient, especially with what's going on today. Okay, so the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "You shall not come here." He does not explain here why, but in Shmuel, our parak, scripture explains, and they said to David, saying, "You shall not come here unless you remove the blind and the lame." Right, so they're left out of Divrei Hayamim, which makes it even more weird that he mentions it here and not in our parak. They saw that they were unable to withstand David. They therefore stationed blind and lame persons before the city gates. Okay, so this is, so we had the theory that it was statues representing the Brits with Avimelech. We had the theory that it was statues that were moving to scare away enemies and think it was their god. And now this is the first one to actually say, without it being any kind of statues, that it's actually lame and blind people. As if to say, David shall not come here unless he wages war with these blind people. For they knew that it is disgraceful for a king to wage war against blind men. And because of this, he would turn back and not wage war with them. David said to himself, however, "It is true that it is neither right nor proper for me to wage war with the blind and with the lame, but whoever smites the Jebusites in a way that he reaches the tower shall pull them and cast them away from here vis-a-vis the blind. Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house of David, because it will be a disgrace for him, lest they say that David waged war with these handicapped people." Okay, so just in terms of the war part, it seems that Yoav was able to find a way to skip over all these people and just conquer the tower somehow. It doesn't really explain how that was done anywhere. But what's it saying here, and how is it so relevant today? Exactly. I mean, it is crazy, human shields. And we see our spiritual DNA and empathy from David HaMelech, or how the Israeli army continues in the way of David HaMelech in doing everything possible to avoid killing those who are not able to fight. So powerful. I mean, and that Rashi was saying this 1,000 years ago is just really incredible. Really incredible. I don't even know what to say about it. We'll just leave it out there. Okay, so one more Malvim. Vayomer David, Ve'azamar Shemishi Lachim Mitzad Hazeh Ve'Hala, Muchrach Lahakot Yevusi Tchila. So I think he's kind of explaining the warfare here. And then it says, the one who would fight from this side and onward is forced to kill the Yebusites first. Shehem anshei hachayil she'amdu bein hamitzuda ben hasamim. And these are the people, going back to the Malbim's explanation, that were standing in the middle, waiting to see whether the enemy would come in from the gate or from the mitzuda. And they were prepared to fight, and they would have to be smitten. Ve'achar kach yiga b'tzinor hamogir mayim al hatzlamim. And afterwards, they would then capture this sinor, which was one pouring water onto the statues. Ki haba mitzad zeh yiyah seder pigiyato tchila v'hatzinor v'achar kach v'apskim v'achar kach v'yivrim. And so the order would be getting the pipe, and then afterwards the lame, and then afterwards the blind, who according to the Malbim are the statues, snu'ei nafesh David, those that David hated, musava kulam. This is actually talking about everybody. Yevusi veha ivrim veha pischim tzonav. All the Yevusim and the blind and the statues, his who hated him. Upo lo peresh ma yaselo. It doesn't say what would happen to the person who conquered it. Ubedivrei hayamim peresh kol makai yevusi v'rishina yel rosh lasar. That's where it says whoever is the first one to conquer it will become the head. Visham be'er shalakta Yoav. And there we learn that it was Yoav who did it. Alken yomru iver v'piseach. And that's why it says blind and lame. I'm not sure what he's saying there. Ritzon lomar, Oh, he's going to explain it. Ratzon lomar ya'en she'ivrim ve'pischim yomru shelo yavi David al ha'bayit rak b'chutz yamod v'lchein ra'ui lahakotam al hachri ma'am. Okay, so he answers that David wouldn't bring the Ivrim and the Pesikim into the house. They would only stand outside, and therefore you can get rid of them. And I think, according to the Mabim, these are still statues. Okay, so now, back to what this Sinor is. This was a very interesting article by Rav Yitzchak Levy from Gush. According to Vincent, who excavated the city of David with Parker, Sinor refers to the water project known as Warren's Shaft. So, does anybody know when Warren excavated? I wonder if it's probably around the same time as the Malbim lived, because Malbim was like throughout the 1800s, 1809 to 1889, I think. So it'd be interesting if he's basing... I'm going to have to look that up.
I thought it was later than that. I thought it was like 1920.
Oh, the Warren Shaft?
But I'm
excavations?
Sure.
Okay. We'll look that up after. Which allowed for water to be drawn from inside the city by way of an aqueduct that brought water from the spring to the bottom of the shaft. According to this opinion, Yoav succeeded in climbing up the shaft, surprising the enemy at the top, and penetrating thereby into the city. So this really allows for this explanation that Yoav didn't even have to fight anybody, just was standing there at the shaft, had their water supply in his hands, and conquered the city.
I went hiking through there before they made it into a tourist attraction.
Oh, wow. What year was that?
In the late 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
It was just... You could walk into it.
Wow, amazing.
Today you can't because there's like fences and,
right.
You know, it's a tourist attraction.
Excavations that have been carried out over the last 5 years at the Gihon Spring have uncovered a huge tower from the patriarchal period that protects the spring, and also a tunnel leading from the city to the pool adjacent to the spring, which is also protected by fortifications. This project allowed the inhabitants of the city during a set period of siege to go down, draw water from the pool, and return to the city. Perhaps then that Sinor should be identified with this water project in its entirety, especially based on the sole scriptural mention of the word Sinor in connection with water. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your cataracts, Sinorecha. All your waves and your billows are gone over me. If this is correct, Yoav's courageous achievement was to expose the tower protecting the spring, penetrate through it and the tunnel into the city, and thus surprise the Yevusi and conquer the city from within. Okay. So that is David. This we learn ancient warfare tactics that are still being used today. And also, don't forget that Hashem's presence rests on whenever a majority of Israel are together.